We're talking about the aging narcissist. So how do narcissists change as they get older? And how do the family dynamics change in that situation? We all know that a narcissist loves to be the center of attention. And we all know that they desperately need supply. They need praise. They need adoration, admiration. And as they get older, this sometimes becomes harder to get a hold of. Here's the hard part for narcissists. Because our society generally considers young people to be beautiful people, many aging narcissists struggle. Now, not all narcissists get their approval and attention through their looks, but for those who do, and even for those who don't, the aging process can be really painful. Getting older, because of our societal standards about youth and beauty, can certainly mean losing a certain amount of status, social standing, all of that stuff. And of course, when the aging narcissist peeks at themselves in the mirror, what do you think they see? They see someone who's losing out, someone who is going downhill. And this is devastating for them. So as the narcissist gets older, they will experience feelings of distress and upset and anger and frustration, among other things. Their interpersonal issues will definitely increase. All of their relationships will be affected, from the relationships at home all the way to the relationships with people they work with and even strangers. They might have a tendency toward feeling depressed or even suicidal. Since they require narcissistic supply in order to sort of stabilize their own identity, the lack of it is a huge detriment to the narcissist's identity. Pathological narcissism is really defined by an unstable self-image. So the aging narcissist will often alternate between their attempts to draw attention and get approval and praise to extreme sadness, anxiety, vulnerability, which leads them to increasingly lower self-esteem. You may not be able to read this as you first meet the person or even if you're in a relationship with them, because they're still going to act like they have that sense of entitlement and they're still going to act like they're better than you. But in addition to the mental health issues that go with pathological narcissism and aging, you might notice certain self-destructive behaviors with a narcissist as they get older. This might be things like cheating, and of course this would include risky sexual behavior. They might start driving in a crazy way or start using drugs or alcohol. Definitely, they're going to take more risks and certainly do more in order to get attention from other people. They'll become increasingly outrageous. It's important to note, though, that their potential use of alcohol and drugs and their potential to take unnecessary risks with their lives and the lives of others is certainly reflective of their need for attention, but it also allows them to numb themselves in order to overcome any feelings that they have of shame and loneliness and emptiness. They may also begin to be very aggressive with you and other people in your life, and that's just a straight up reaction to their self-esteem being threatened.
So what do? They do a number of different things. One of the things they might do in a family situation is they might start to try to live vicariously through children or grandchildren, try to get attention that way. In some cases, the narcissist might be okay with kind of fading into the background as long as they can get attention and admiration vicariously through one of the other people in their life or in another form. So for example, rather than brag about their own accomplishments, they might start bragging about the accomplishments of their children or grandchildren because somehow they have affected that person. Or if they don't have children, they might take credit for the accomplishments of nieces or nephews or the neighbor's kid, anybody they've affected in any way. It's all about getting approval for something. Like, hey, look what I did. I helped that kid become amazing. So that means it's my experience. Another thing that happens to the aging narcissist is seriously heavy denial. They deny that they're getting older. So essentially, even though they are getting older, they don't let themselves see it. So they live in this stage of, yeah, I'm just a 28-year-old like I used to be. They might even hang out with kids. They don't allow themselves to grow old gracefully. They allow themselves to walk around looking like someone who is trying too hard, to say the very least. Basically, they just don't allow the societal norm to get in their head. And in some ways, maybe it's a good thing, but in reality, it can be very difficult and distressing to the people around that person. You've seen those old episodes of like Maury where mom dresses like a hoe, give her a makeover, that kind of stuff. Well, this is how those people sometimes react to aging. They just never stop thinking they're young and beautiful and they keep dressing and acting like they are. Now, that's a really confusing thing because there's no reason that we shouldn't feel beautiful when we're over a certain age, but it's about respecting yourself and treating yourself with respect. Narcissists seem to treat themselves with respect,
but so often their vanity seems to get the best of them.
This might lead a narcissist to do things that can be really harmful for them. Like over the years, they might get ridiculous amounts of plastic surgery or liposuction, and repeated episodes of surgery are dangerous for anybody. And the older we get, the more dangerous it might become. A lot of narcissists will actually begin to cheat, if they haven't already, with younger people in their relationships just because they need to feel attractive. They become bitter and angry. Instead of growing up and doing a little better for themselves, maturing, getting smarter, wisdom, that kind of stuff, they kind of remain emotionally stunted. They stay where they always have been. They see getting older as a series of failures on their part. They deal with the denial, and they also throw rage in there, resentment, and of course, eventually, sometimes resignation, where they just give up. Because they held on so tightly to the way they looked or their money or their stuff, the connections they had, even their fame, if they were famous, they become increasingly self-centered, if you can imagine. They become very needy, and it's an intense form of neediness that makes their children and the people around them feel miserable. They might deal with depression. They might deal with all kinds of things. And I've even heard more than one story where an aging narcissist took their own life. They feel victimized by everything. They blame other people for all the things that are wrong in their life. That's pretty common for narcissists. Basically, they become an extreme, terrible version of what they were before. They become their worst selves. They are still abusive. They're still mean. They're angry and bitter, stiff and rigid, incredibly paranoid, defensive, isolated, and desperate. They live in their delusions. Another thing that tends to happen is that because they're so selfish and self-focused, and because they have no empathy and no compassion for other people, as they get older, their friendships kind of dwindle sometimes, at least the real friendships. They kind of end up alone, isolated. If their spouses are still with them, they've probably withdrawn in order to defend themselves. And so they're not getting a lot of positive feedback there. And many times the spouses have been gone for a while because they recognized what they were dealing with and got the heck out of there. Can't blame them. If they have adult children and the children are aware of what's going on, then many times they've cut contact or at least physically or emotionally backed away from the person because of their toxicness. If they have grandchildren, they may not even know their grandchildren, again, because their adult children put boundaries in place to protect their children. Even neighbors and friends probably have pulled away at least up to a point because of the ridiculous amount of arrogance and insecurity and selfish crap that the narcissist spits at them, or because of their rudeness or their sense of entitlement or the way they act like they're better than everybody. Something interesting that happens to a lot of aging narcissists is that because so many of their people have backed away from them and their social status is gone, they don't really have a lot of things to talk about or think about. So a lot of them will start to think they are superior to other people because of who those people are. So you'll see a lot of bigotry coming out in these people. They might become a racist, or they might become an anti-gay person, or they might become a sexist. It makes them feel like they've got more power if they can feel like they're better than someone because of the color of their skin or their sexuality or their sex. It's pretty ridiculous, but it's a common thing. Needy narcissism is something that we see in probably many narcissists, right? But we see it frequently in aging narcissists for obvious reasons. We all need more help as we get older. But in this case, we're talking about the need for narcissistic supply, which, in case you weren't aware, is a Freudian term that basically defines a mechanism in a person who is requiring, you know, the constant attention, the admiration, the affirmation, all of that stuff. They need attention from other people in order to secure their own little ego, because they tend to have very low self-esteem, because as they age, their self-esteem may wane, and they may not have had a lot of self-esteem to begin with. The concept has been described by psychologist Otto Fenchel in 1938. He introduced this theory to describe a kind of admiration that was used as almost a sustenance, a food from their environment or a person, and that it was necessary for their self-esteem. Now, this was built on a Freudian concept, as I mentioned, of narcissistic satisfaction, as well as on the work of psychoanalyst Carl Abraham. Fenchel believed that narcissistic need came from their early childhood, in which children were able to maintain a sense of equilibrium based on the sort of support of their parents. Fenchel, of course, identified two different strategies that would be used for obtaining this supply, including aggression and ingratiation. Of course, these are two completely different approaches, but could later develop into either sadistic or submissive behaviors in adulthood. Now, interestingly enough, psychoanalyst Otto Kernberg actually considered a malignant narcissist to be primarily identified by the fact that they had no regard for other people unless they could be idealized sources of narcissistic supply. Now, Heinz Kohut, another psychologist, said he saw those people with NPD as disintegrating mentally if they were cut off from their source of narcissistic supply, which is basically the collapsed narcissist described. What's interesting is that all of these points lead to the conclusion that people providing supply are treated like an extension of the narcissist. So no personal boundaries are ever recognized for those people. In fact, many times the narcissist doesn't even really see them as individual people. They see them as simply a piece of themselves.
The fact is, there are certain qualities that a narcissist looks for in a victim. They choose victims and then they go on to charm them, seduce them, push them, mold them, put them into their little victim box, right? Narcissists, because they're not capable of normal human love, they love people for what they do for them as opposed to who they are. One of the things that they do is they feel very angry and frustrated at people who enjoy life because they, even though they seem to enjoy their lives, generally don't. Of course, I'm not talking about specifically material things. A lot of narcissists have plenty of material things. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. I'm talking about deeper things like empathy, like sensitivity, like goals, creativity, different things that you want to do with your life, passion. A lot of the time, narcissists will go after someone who have a strong passion or a strong fire inside of them. But as we all know, narcissists have a way of switching from the amazing, light-seeming, fun-to-be-around person that we first met to becoming incredibly critical, very dismissive of people they claim to love. And of course, this just feeds our confusion and our self-doubt. Right?
Narcissistic supply keeps the narcissist from sort of falling apart and revealing their true self to themselves and or the world around them. The overly needy behavior of the aging narcissist will make us feel overwhelmed and exhausted by them. Just to be around them is incredibly overwhelming. Look, everybody has a little bit of selfishness, okay? That's how we get up out of bed in the morning. It's narcissism. Narcissism at its purest level is simply self-interest, and we all have a little bit of that. But it's a matter of how much we have, how little we have, and in which areas that this falls. Here are some of the ways that narcissists, as they age, become increasingly needy. Take a look.
Narcissists use us like a drug, and narcissists have this way of sucking the life from you, don't they? For example, maybe you've experienced a situation where the narcissist tries to argue with you when you don't feel like arguing. Repeatedly, you foil them again and again and again. Finally, you probably give up and kind of retreat off into blessed dissociation, where you're just not really even there anymore. Of course, before long, the narcissist pops back in, back out of the room, and each time they pop in, they go pick, 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 and you know they're trying to pick a fight. They're trying to keep going with their negativity. If you've been doing your research, you know that if you don't respond to them and you use the gray wreck method, very often the narcissist doesn't really know how to handle that. So maybe the narcissist pretends to be light and breezy and everything's fine. And as this is going on, of course, you're feeling this bile kind of building up under the surface, right? You practically feel, physically feel the energy as they walk into the room. It feels large and heavy and prickly. It hurts a little bit if you're an empath. So intense, you can almost feel them buzzing with vindictive venom, prepared to strike out at you immediately for any infraction, real or perceived. As they grow tired of being ignored, they need to be the center of attention. So they go on about the business of blatantly and shamelessly placing the blame for anything wrong in their lives on you as their source of primary supply. They call you lazy, they call you stupid, they call you arrogant, they call you whatever it is that will hurt you the most. Definitely not good enough, or whatever their version of that is. They pull trigger after trigger. Literally anything they can do to get your attention to start the drama up again. Before you know it, they're unleashing their narcissistic rage all over you, and they're relieved, so suddenly they're sleeping like a baby, and here you are, not knowing which end is up. So the first thing you can do, of course, is gray rock. If you're still dealing with a narcissist, whether it's because you're living with them or you're engaged with them in some way because you have children or some legal issue or you have to be connected to them, the gray rock method is your best bet. It's difficult. It can be a little painful for you, but eventually it causes a narcissist to try a different tactic to get your attention. The basic way to do the gray rock method is to just not give the narcissist any emotional reaction at all when they try to attack you or get close to you in any way. This also works if they're trying to love bomb you or get close to you. You just keep it all business all the time. So keep that in mind. If you are being gaslighted, if the narcissist is treating you terribly in the relationship, you simply don't react to them. Other things you can try. Number one, don't give them any attention because they love attention. And so whenever they're doing anything hurtful or disrespectful to you, no attention at all. On the flip side of that, if you're still dealing with a narcissist, you can give them more attention and positive feedback when they act respectably to you. Number two, move on. Don't hold on to the narcissist. Don't expect the narcissist to change because they won't change. So move on. go no contact or low contact as soon as possible. That's going to be the thing that's going to really keep you sane in all of this, is either actually going no contact or going low contact, or at least preparing to go no contact. Go to queenbeeing.com/plan and check out my downloads on that page. They'll be really helpful for you if you're planning your escape. The next thing you want to do is educate yourself on narcissistic relationships and narcissistic personality disorder. And you're doing that right now by watching this video. I've also got lots of other resources for you here on this channel, as well as at queenbeeing.com, booksangiewrote.com, and narcissisticabuserecovery.online, to name a few. Join SPAN, get some support from fellow survivors, people who are in various stages of recovery. queenbeeing.com/SPAN. SPAN stands for Support for People Affected by Narcissism in Relationships. And it is for the survivors, not the narcissists, just so you know. So go to queenbeeing.com/SPAN, S-P-A-N, and join that group. That will also help you to be stronger and more focused on what you want and not what the narcissist wants. If you focus on healing yourself, you're going to be much more likely to be shutting down that abuse in the process. Because narcissists, they don't want you to be happy, they don't want you to be healthy, and they certainly don't want you to be confident. They work really hard to tear you down. So if you start building those things within yourself, you will instantly become less attractive to the narcissist. So just in case that wasn't clear, the only real way to completely eliminate a narcissist's manipulation, gaslighting, and abuse is to go completely no contact, refuse to engage with them on any level. Or to put it more simply, the best way, probably the only way to completely effectively deal with a narcissist is to not deal with a narcissist at all. Unfortunately, it's not always that easy. So that's why I shared the other tips with you that I shared today. Why does this happen? Why is it so difficult to deal with a narcissist who's gaslighting? Why are they so manipulative? And why is it so hard for us to get past it? Why do we feel so encumbered by it and so stifled by their manipulation? I don't know about you, but very often for me, I will find myself feeling heavy stress when I'm in the presence of a narcissist, especially when he's angry or upset with me. That's just one of the reasons why it's really the only solution to completely liberating yourself from a narcissist is to go no contact. We also have to talk about the fact that narcissists, we're sort of addicted to them, and they're sort of addicted to us. They feed on our feelings. They grow stronger when they are able to elicit our feelings from us. And of course, to a narcissist, the only thing that ever really matters is their own feelings, their own self-gratification, their own desires being met. They don't care if your desires are not met, and if they happen to get met, great, but in some cases, if they know your desires are being met, they will actively work against them. Whether you're talking about a family member, a spouse, a coworker, a friend, and another type of romantic partner, you're going to deal with similar issues. The narcissist will try to dominate you, tear you down emotionally, and make you their proverbial. They will. I'm not kidding. You are, to a narcissist, nothing more than a source of narcissistic supply. You provide them with admiration, you provide them with praise, adulation, acceptance, pedestal pushing. The thing is, they need those things in order to make their false self seem more real to themselves. They have to sort of artificially inflate their egos by using your emotions and feelings. And if that requires that they tear you down, well, then they'll do it. If you're not properly, you know, pumping up the ego with I don't know what that was. If you're not properly pumping up the ego with it, you know, the narcissist will do whatever is necessary to elicit more emotion from you, very often beginning with narcissistic rage or narcissistic injury. And if you're anything like me, that stuff is exhausting to you. It feels overwhelming and upsetting. And even if you try to soothe them and keep them calm like they want you to, sometimes it just makes them more upset. Intermittent reinforcement keeps us hooked because sometimes when we do what they want, we get what we want. We get that love or concern or whatever it is that we're seeking from the narcissist, acceptance. We find that, okay, I can actually make this person happy today. Yay! Because every now and then, they'll be nice to us. Every now and then, they'll give us a little taste of that person we signed up for in the first place. And that's why we stay hooked, at least part of the reason. There's a much bigger reason than that, but we'll get to that another day. But the intermittent reinforcement is how they hook us and keep us hooked. On our end, we provide them the type of supply that they need to create this false image of themselves and to maintain it so they feel addicted to us as well. So it's really a very toxic situation for us because of the fact that we feel addicted. And I think that's part of the reason that narcissists end up coming back into our lives even after we've left, because they need a little fix of our supply. Even if they've moved on to a new supply, they may not have properly trained that person yet, or they may not just be quite as good as we are at providing supply. So the narcissist will go back to the old supply, therefore the Hoover maneuver, which many of us experience during Valentine's Day, typically. So you can kind of look at narcissists in this case like a recovering addict. It's like an addict who can function sort of like a normal person during active addiction, but then in sobriety, they completely fall apart. But they can do just fine if they could just get a little hit of their preferred drug. Narcissists are just like that with narcissistic supply. That's why it's so hard and so important for us to go no contact, because by allowing them to use us as a drug, we continue to feed their addiction and basically allow their false personality to continue to exist.
Long story short, a needy type narcissist basically uses people. Everyone in their life is someone who can do something for them. They're users. They know how to exploit people. They know how to manipulate people to get what they want. And the older they get, their methods might change. So a woman who was previously really, you know, focused on the way she looked and used her sexuality to get what she wants, well, now she might try to cry or act pathetic to get what she wants. Depending on who she is, she might even still try to use her sexuality. Long story short, the aging narcissist is excessively needy. Does it ever end? Do the narcissist's games ever stop? What is a true sign of recovery on their part? Is it just an impossibility? Can the narcissist change? Do they change as they get older? Will the games ever stop? Narcissists, a lot of times, make you feel like you just can't touch them. And what I mean by that is they seem like they go through life unscathed. They break hearts. They ruin lives. They leave a trail of destruction everywhere they go. They are the living embodiment of chaos in some cases, or the extreme opposite of that, excessive order in other cases. But all of them leave a big wake of heartache behind them. They don't have any remorse. Nothing seems to be able to stop them from emotionally devastating and, in other ways, ruining the people closest to them. But there is such a thing as the narcissistic collapse, and that's when the narcissist is no longer able to hold on to the false self. Their false self is kind of laid out there for everyone to see, and the real self sort of comes through because there's no more barrier. There's no more space between the two. Maybe that's because they've pushed everyone else away. Maybe that's because they don't have anyone else admiring them or whatever. And maybe it's just because people realized who they were, but now they find themselves alone. And that is when it's very difficult for family members who are still stuck around to deal with them. This is when the collapse happens, when everybody around the narcissist starts to wake up. Sometimes maybe for female narcissists, their looks are fading and they're not as able to manipulate people as they were before. Sometimes for all narcissists, simply as they get older, they become less able to charm you. They become less concerned with charming you. And that's when everybody kind of pushes away from them. And when they find themselves often spinning, and then they go quickly into collapse mode. It's almost like a mental breakdown where the narcissist will become isolated, withdrawn, depressed. They really don't want to face the world. And this is often concurrent with not wanting to face themselves. And most narcissists don't ever get past the collapse. They continue in that mode for the rest of their lives. Of course, this is around the time that many narcissists will begin to think about the one that got away or how their whole life is a big sham. Sometimes they even go so far as to recognize that they have in fact been emotionally abusive to people in their lives. But that's rare. Now, a lot of research will tell you that there is a benefit to being a narcissist when it comes to business and building alliances and things like that. But this is only in the short term. In fact, a 2016 study confirmed that while some narcissists, especially those charming ones, have a little advantage when it comes to business and even making friends on the short term, in the long run, it doesn't work out well for them. A team of researchers from Poland gathered up 273 college students who were freshmen. They organized a group and they ran a popularity contest, literally, with these students. They tracked this popularity over the course of their college careers. Now, what's interesting is that while those who were charming and upfront and out there did certainly impress the fellow students early on in the game, within 3 months, those students' charm started to wear off and other students began to take the spotlight when it came to popularity in the group. What it came down to, the researchers decided, was that as the semester continued, those who were charming, that charm kind of wore off for them. And those narcissists who were part of that group, well, people started to know them better. People were more aware of who they were and could see through their little facade a little easier. Just in that semester. When people learn that that charm is superficial and that they have selfishness issues, and of course the fact that they have the tendency to manipulate and exploit other people, well, that leads to less popularity.
Psychologist Anna Sarna, who was the lead author of the study, said that people with a high EQ actually ended up becoming more popular as time wore on. So while the really overt out there charmers did get the initial attention, once people got to know them better, they preferred the people with the higher EQs, you know, the empaths. Now, the empaths did take a little longer to build alliances, and I bet you can guess why that might be. Probably because they were being more careful about with whom they align themselves. And perhaps not too surprising, these more reserved students, the empath students, were more likely to have a larger social circle at the end of the experiment. And their social circle was more likely to like them and admire them individually. So what's interesting about this is that the researchers actually compared it to the tortoise and the hare story, you know, where the hare runs faster, but the tortoise, by the end of the race, has ultimately won. Narcissists coming in with all the cockiness they could muster, but ultimately leaving unsuccessfully when it came to the social circle. What does this have to do with aging narcissists? The study shows that narcissists have a hard time maintaining long-term healthy relationships. And while people who have a higher emotional intelligence level or emotional quotient EQ are more likely to take longer to make friends, they keep those friends longer and ultimately end up with a larger social circle. And I think what it comes down to is that as narcissists go through this process of aging, they lose their ability to charm people as much, and then they certainly lose the ability to bring in new people. So a narcissist who's always been surrounded by people may one day find themselves feeling completely invisible. Now, I know some people will feel sorry for the narcissist here and maybe worry that they'll end up friendless and alone and feel bad about that. And I understand that. But here's another thing to consider. That same study showed that people who were in the lowest 10% of intelligence and the lowest 10% of narcissism were also among the least popular. Getting older is not easy for any of us. But for narcissists who are very emotionally immature, it is far more difficult. It might sound like I'm giving them a pass because their narcissism makes it harder for them, but people who are emotionally immature have never learned new techniques and tactics and never get a deeper understanding of the people around them. In fact, for some narcissists, they're literally toddlers, emotionally speaking. Others I've seen go up to, you know, age 15 or 16 emotionally. Now, obviously, they have intelligence just like everyone else, but imagine having someone who is emotionally 5 or 6 years old inside of, say, a 75-year-old body. What would that feel like to that person? They lose their looks or their charm. They develop increasing health problems just like everyone else, but they don't know how to cope with it. And a lot of times they're left with no support because everybody's tired of them. And if they are still dealing with someone, a spouse or a child, they're usually abusing that person emotionally. They don't get the benefit of emotional wisdom. They don't learn to be strong on a personal level. So essentially, they just become sort of a shadow of what they used to be. Not more mature, not better, just a shadow of their younger self. Now, there are lots of different ways they're going to victimize you here. And you will see that the older they get, the more cruel some narcissists will become. And they're more likely to exploit you as a person or anyone they can. Some of them will go so far as to even victimize themselves. So they will portray being a victim of you or someone else in their lives in order to get attention from other people. This is certainly not exclusive to the aging narcissist, but it is a tactic that is more often employed by aging narcissists. Guilt trips, poor me, pity parties, all of that stuff. I heard someone say that a narcissist ages like sour milk. They kind of start to stink as they get older. I think we mean that proverbially. The truth is that many toxic narcissists have ruined many lives before they get to that point where they consider themselves aging. They don't have any sense of remorse about this. And while they sure might have some regrets, and they sure might doubt themselves here and there, and they certainly don't like the consequences that they've achieved as a result of their lifelong abusing behavior, they will still never feel accountable for the life that they earned, and they will always feel like somehow this was done to them. A covert narcissist is different from their more overt counterparts in that they aren't so blatantly open with their self-centeredness. Your standard out there narcissist, the grandiose type, they tend to be aggressive, self-important. They exploit people, and they often have extreme delusions of grandeur and extreme need for attention. More covert narcissists, on the other hand, they seem to sort of masquerade as introverts. Like, they're seemingly shy and prone to feelings of neglect or loneliness. They seem to be hypersensitive. They're riddled by anxiety, and in direct contrast to the overt narcissist, they suffer from delusions of persecution. So the question remains, is it possible for a covert narcissist to become a more overt one later in life?
And if we're talking about the covert narcissist, the way that they got attention before was very often in the form of making people feel bad
and guilting people into doing things for them or martyring themselves so people would feel the need to help them.
So there are a few important things to remember here about the covert narcissist. The first thing being that a covert narcissist will sometimes actually become overtly narcissistic in any close relationship because their source of supply, their source of narcissistic supply, it's usually someone they feel more comfortable with. So they will tend to go more overt. They will ignore them, devalue them, dismiss them, and quite often throw a lot of blame their way. And so while most covert narcissists will kind of maintain their rather introverted seeming exterior when we're talking about people outside of their circle of narcissistic supply or their inner circle, they will very often gaslight, give the silent treatment, do double talk, or use double bind manipulation in order to control those people that are closest to them. Whether a narcissist is covert or overt, they are truly pathologically unlikely to be involved in real intimacy or any sort of true reciprocity in a relationship. Even when they do act romantic or compliment you or express emotion for you or be kind or compassionate, it's always an attempt to manipulate you in some way or to sort of disarm you so that you can share information that they can later use as ammunition against you in an argument. Even though most covert narcissists are really shy, really introverted, the truth is that behind closed doors, most covert narcissists are very similar to overt narcissists when it comes to their inner circle. So essentially, the covert narcissist in most cases is only as covert as they need to be in those situations. Sometimes when you meet a narcissist, they're going through depression or they're a collapsed narcissist, but when they get into the relationship, they tend to become more overt. The truth is that a narcissist is a narcissist is a narcissist, regardless of the type of narcissist. Covert or overt doesn't matter. In all cases, they are master manipulators. They will use any tactic they can think of in order to get what they want. They're equally bad, equally destructive in most cases. Of course, they're on a spectrum, but the main thing to concern yourself with is whether or not you're being abused by one. Interestingly enough, coverts in general become less covert in familiar environments. And overt narcissists, by contrast, will become less overt when in unfamiliar environments. So basically, most narcissists can be some combination of both covert or overt, depending on the circumstances. So one who is more covert than overt could be characterized as covert, but that doesn't take away the possibility of being overt in some cases.
Sometimes a narcissist loses his or her ability to obtain adequate sources of narcissistic supply. This can happen when the narcissist's family and friends have just had enough and one by one they slowly abandon the narcissist. Or in some cases, the narcissist loses their ability to attract new supply because they get older, they lose their looks, they become so self-involved that they forget how to do the whole love bombing thing effectively, or any combination of these things and many other things. This is what we call a collapsed narcissist. So knowing what we know about narcissists, we know that they really do sort of need that supply to keep going, don't they? But when a narcissist is unable to obtain narcissistic supply, it's a problem. And often, not just for the narcissist, but also for other people around the narcissist in their lives. At this point, the narcissist lives in a constant attack mode, attempting to force people around them to provide that much needed supply. Random people, waitresses, the guy at the gas station, you know, their son's fifth grade teacher, whatever. They are overly sensitive about everything, full of rage, full of hate, and they throw temper tantrums that would rival those of a two-year-old, although that's a little insulting to the two-year-old, you know. They are outright intolerant, disrespectful, and often even violent toward the people around them, in both words and actions. They previously once maintained a certain facade, didn't they, of a nice or a cool or easygoing or friendly or great person to be around. But as the collapse continues, that mask falls away, the facade is gone, and suddenly you're looking at the true face of a narcissist, and it is full of rage and ugliness, hate, general disgust for everything that is humanity. While they are still unable to deal with any sort of blame, criticism, or perceived disrespect of themselves, they are actively projecting their own self-hate onto the people around them in their lives, or maybe random targets like people of different religions, different races, or even different political affiliations.
And so in the case of the covert narcissist, it's not that they necessarily become more overt, but they may need to kind of up their tactic, up their game in order to get more attention. So instead of maybe giving you the silent treatment when you didn't show up for their birthday party, they might, you know, throw themselves on the floor and call 911 and say they fell because you weren't there for their birthday party. You see what I'm saying? They're going to kind of go a little more extreme in some cases. Another thing that happens with covert narcissists is they start to get less good at hiding things. And so you might discover as they get a little older that they might be cheating on you and you might find out for the first time in 20 years. Or they're controlling and you recognize that the controlling behaviors kind of get more extreme. Sometimes you'll notice that when the kids grow up and move out, that's when it all starts with a covert narcissist. Suddenly they'll reveal they've had some kind of big secret all these years, and suddenly your whole world crumbles around you. Bottom line, can a covert narcissist become a more overt narcissist with age, in middle age? I would say yes. Yes, at least in appearance. They're still going to be themselves, but they might find themselves needing to be more overt to get the attention that they want. I hope that helps. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. Question of the day. Question of the day. Question of the day. And the question of the day is, do you know an aging narcissist? And what sort of advice would you offer to our Spanily members who are dealing with one?
Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. And before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you here and there. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button right over there so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.